This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. This is the evening edition, and I'm Arlene Weber. On June 21st, the world will be celebrating International Yoga Day. If this sounds relatively new to you, that's because it is. The United Nations General Assembly declared it so only in December last year, after Narendra Modi, India's Prime Minister, mooted it during his UN General Assembly address in September 2014. I caught up with Saurabh Jain, International Yoga Day Asia-Pacific Coordinator, to find out more about the event. But for now, I speak with India's High Commissioner to Malaysia, His Excellency Tirumurti, about India's move to encourage the adoption of yoga on a global scale. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, let's get down to why you're here. We're going to talk about International Yoga Day. How did International Yoga Day come about, and what was President Modi's role in it?
Yeah. When our Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, when he was addressing the United Nations General Assembly last September, he mentioned that there was a need to change our lifestyles. And he felt that yoga was really the key to change our lifestyles. And he said that yoga embodies the unity of the mind and body, thought and action. The harmony between nature and man. So he felt that there was a need for a holistic approach to health and well-being, and this could come through yoga. I think that was really what he said. And after he made this statement, we felt that it was time to propose a resolution in the UN. You know, given the extraordinary benefits which yoga can bring to health and well-being all over the world. I think that was really the genesis of how we started and we proposed resolution.
But what was the reason behind the need for yoga to be recognized only now?
No, actually, it's like this, that yoga has, if you see the United, in fact, when I come, if I come to the resolution, which actually got passed, it received 177 co-sponsorship. This is practically a record, an unprecedented number of co-sponsorship. Mm-hmm. So why I mentioned this is that, and that too within a span of less than 3 months. So by the time he spoke, and 11th of December was when it was passed, I know we got 177 co-sponsors. So therefore, I think there was already a tremendous amount of interest all over the world on yoga. So it's not something which started now. This has been happening over a period of time. And I think the Prime Minister just put it together and at that moment, and he felt that the time was ripe to sort of put it to the UN and see whether we can take this forward in a broader, larger UN context.
Why do you think the response has been so great, though? You were saying that 177 co-sponsors in
yes.
just a very short time.
That's true.
That's fantastic.
That's true. In fact, I think it's very clear that, I think all over the world, they have recognized the benefits that yoga brings to health and well-being. And I think if you look at the type of enthusiasm which is there for this particular resolution, and it came from all regions of the world. It was not just from one segment or the other. And it is quite clear that, there is an enthusiastic cross-cultural and universal appeal which yoga has. I think this is what this, the resolution on yoga proves.
So what is hoped to be achieved with International Yoga Day then?
Yes. See, the resolution itself has certain components. One is that it recognizes that yoga provides a holistic approach to health and well-being. It acknowledges that wider dissemination of yoga's benefits would be beneficial for the health of the world population. And apart from, of course, designating the 21st of June as the International Day of Yoga, it also invites all the member states, the organizations, the regional organizations, the individuals, NGOs and others to join in to raise the awareness of the benefits of yoga. I think that is what is important because I think the time has come for a concerted international effort to understand what is yoga. And secondly, to ensure that the benefits of yoga touches every corner of the world. I think that's how I look at it.
Okay. So for those who think that yoga is directly connected to Hinduism, you know, hence why they're unsure of practicing it, you know, just to keep religion out of it, what do you have to say to them then?
Yeah, actually, you know, yoga is a science. And as one of the foremost exponents of yoga said, it is an ancient but perfect science. And when you look at science, naturally all science is secular. It cannot be religious. Science is science. You know, if for example, in medicine, if you look at Yunani medicine, Yunani is a German origin, the Greek origin. But the entire practice of Yunani medicine was done by Muslims. It was really in the Islamic world that Yunani medicine was practiced, in the Arab world and in Persia. And it came to India 7 to 8 centuries ago, along with the Muslims. And now, if you see millions of Indians get treated through Yunani. Mm. It is not just Muslims who get treated through Yunani. It is Hindus, it is Christians, it's people of all faiths. So irrespective of the origin, it is a science, it is medicine. Similarly, you look at Ayurveda, it has a Hindu origin, certainly. But now millions of people get treated by Ayurveda, irrespective of faith which they come in. I think so, therefore, when you're talking about faith, it has nothing to do with science. Mm. Because science is for everyone. And even if you look at the resolution which was passed in the United Nations, 47 countries were OIC countries who actually co-sponsored the resolution. So I think it goes beyond just faith. It is science. Mm. And that's why yoga is really, as you know, it's a state of equanimity. So we are really looking at equanimity, which is achieved in both body and in the mind. And if you look at most of our ancient, you know, medicines and science which comes down, it all deals with equilibrium. And once the equilibrium is disturbed, then obviously many things get disturbed. And that's why yoga is the science of that balance or unity between body and the mind. And it involves the modification of the type of lifestyles we are leading today. And the asanas and the pranayama, which is what yoga prescribes. And this is precisely to take care of the equilibrium which gets disturbed in the body and in the mind.
Not many people, I'm sure, when they embark on yoga, they have an idea of what yoga is, the fact that it's a science and all that. Will people be exposed to this sort of explanation during International Yoga Day?
Yes, I think, you know, when people look at yoga, they look at it in a holistic fashion. It involves lifestyle, it involves health, it involves well-being. You know, in fact, some of the medical research in recent years, and they have uncovered the benefits of yoga. And this is known to millions of people all over the world. If you look at the benefits, for example, apart from physical fitness, but it's good for cardiovascular health. It has benefits in the management of diabetes, respiratory disorders, hypertension, and there are also lifestyle-related disorders. For example, in cervical spondylitis or disc prolapse. So what it requires is really a modification in the lifestyle as well as the specific asanas which yoga has to make sure that the right technique is followed and it able to address it. It can reduce depression, fatigue, and stress. So I think the benefits of yoga is something which we would like very much to bring out on the 21st of June and tell the world that this is a science, it's good for you, it has nothing to do with, you know, this religion or the other, and, you know, we would very much like people to look at it in a holistic fashion. And we are determined to ensure that all over the world, not only you know, the various high commissions and embassies are involved in this, but we also want the local communities, we want the local organizations to be involved in this entire exercise.
After this, I discuss with the High Commissioner about what we can expect in Malaysia come International Yoga Day. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. And we're back on the evening edition with India's High Commissioner to Malaysia, His Excellency Tirumurthy. We're talking about International Yoga Day happening globally this weekend on the 21st of June. Okay, so you've been here 1.5 years, Your Excellency. How do you think Malaysians have responded to yoga? Is it big here, you think?
Yeah, you know, in Malaysia, yoga is catching. There is no doubt. And we have organizations which are doing it. For example, Isha Yoga, Isha Foundation. They have started doing this and people are coming and they are looking at it very differently. The whole concept of yoga as a science. But the thing is that it has also become a very, I would say, slightly more Bollywoodish type of yoga. You know, sort of you practice it in such a way that it's not really yoga which gets addressed. It becomes more like a sporty thing which you do for 5-10 minutes. I think what we need is a reinforcement of the principles and the practices of yoga. And that should be done by organizations which are familiar with the techniques of yoga. The classical yoga, as they say. And I think we have to go back to the roots. And that, I think, has not yet taken root in Malaysia. Mm. And it's important that people come in greater numbers. But at the same time, organizations also do it the right way. The Indian Cultural Center, for example, we have a yoga teacher in the Indian Cultural Center. And he has number of people come and train under him. And we ensure that we get people who are absolutely trained in the classical way which yoga should be done. And if many others also get trained in that way, I'm quite sure that slowly the Malaysians will realize that this is the way yoga should be done, and it will have a far more beneficial effect on their health and well-being than the way it is being done now in certain centers.
Yes, because I believe it's a little hard for anyone really to try and control how yoga should be taught and the way it's commercially sold in gyms and whatnot. Is there one sort of body that ensures the right yoga technique, beliefs, tradition is practiced?
Yes, you know, we have centers in India. Okay. We even have a national institute. It's called the Morarji Desai Institute. So we have it for... for example, we even have the ministry which deals with traditional Indian medicine. Okay. And it's called Ayush.
Okay.
A-Y-U-S-H. A stands for Ayurveda. Y stands for Yoga. U stands for Yunani. And S stands for Siddha. And H stands for Homeopathy. So it is a separate ministry which the government of India has created,
right,
precisely to address the fact that these are the strains which are not receiving the prominence it should, because after all it belongs to, you know, all humanity. It has come down the ages and this has to be given prominence. So that is why I think in India you can find that there is a very, very serious effort to make sure that the public realizes that Ayurveda, Yoga, Yunani and Siddha medicine, which is very popular in the South, as you know, and popular here as well, and homeopathy receives proper attention. And people realize that there is a lot of science which goes behind it. There is a lot of research. People have looked at it. Now we have proper research, because some people say that we don't know exactly what Ayurveda is. But now you have evidence. We have scientific material in our National Institute of Ayurveda, for example. Same thing with yoga. I think, therefore, at least as far as India is concerned, we are determined to make it in such a way that people understand that this is not just which comes from through the ages, but there is a science behind it, which is important.
Yeah, let's hope that influence spreads here.
No, thank you.
All right, so Malaysia will be joining in the celebration of International Yoga Day on the 21st of June. What are your plans for the day?
We have hired the Cheras Badminton Stadium.
Oh, yes.
And we've taken up the stadium. What we plan to do is that we are inviting about 500 yoga practitioners, but not just practitioners, also youngsters, organizations and people who are doing it even casually, but from a cross section of people. So we are, you know, there has been a hell of a lot of demand for people to come and do it, but we are just using about 500 because I think you need to also accommodate them in the place. And we have a person who is going to demonstrate about 10 to 12 asanas during that time. And we have, in fact, given the asanas to the people who are going to participate so that they can, you know, sort of practice at home and come. And we do want to do the asanas, take a small 3-minute break because you have to cool down a little bit, and then we'll do some breathing exercises and then we'll complete the thing. So we're just having a short, an hour or hour and 15 minutes program, and we hope that we can also, we would like other organizations to also participate in their own way. And I'm very happy that organizations have come forward. For example, Isha Malaysia, they have come forward. They are doing it in several centers. KL, of course, they are doing it through the day. And they're also doing it in Ipoh, they're doing it in Seremban, and they're doing it in other places. And we also have the Art of Living, which is collaborating with us in Penang. And so I think there is a great deal of enthusiasm among the organizations that this is a day in which they can actually come out and say, yes, you know, we have finally arrived.
Yes.
And I think that's the type of deja vu which I think they are coming out with in Malaysia. And I hope it catches on.
Yes, well, let's hope that it will catch on and that Malaysia will see better landscape for yoga in the future as well.
Thank you so
much. Thank you so much for your time, Your Excellency.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
After the news, I continue the conversation, but this time with Saurabh Jain, the Asia-Pacific Coordinator for International Yoga Day. Keep it here on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the evening edition. I'm Arlene Weber, continuing the discussion this evening about yoga. This weekend, the 21st of June, will see the celebration of the inaugural International Yoga Day as mooted by India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi in his UN General Assembly address last year. Malaysia joins the festivities, and I caught up with the Asia-Pacific Coordinator for International Yoga Day, Saurabh Jain, to find out more. Thanks for joining us, Saurabh.
Thanks for giving the opportunity.
Okay, let's start a little bit about yourself. You're an Isha teacher with the Isha Foundation based in India. What does the foundation do?
Isha Foundation is a not-for-profit, non-religious organization working towards the human well-being. We work both towards external as well as internal well-being. For external well-being, we are running projects in areas of environment, health, and education. But our core focus always has been inner well-being, and towards this, we are offering yoga as science to the whole world. We operate through a network of our volunteers, and we are spread in almost 250 centers based out of cities.
I see. And you've been an Isha teacher for how long now?
I did my program in 2006, and then I went through a year-long training, and I've been conducting Isha programs for almost 8 years now.
Well, what were you doing before that? Was this a change of heart along the way?
Yes, I would say it's much more than just change of heart. It's complete change of life. I basically come from an engineering background. I've done engineering from one of the premier institutes in India called as IIT, Indian Institute of Technology. And then I settled down in the UK for about 7 years, and I was working as a consultant in the IT industry with some of the major blue chip corporations. What actually changed was, if I look back at my life before Isha, in terms of success on the outside, whether it is my career or whether it is financial comfort or relationships or recognition in the society, I had almost everything I ever aspired for. But somewhere it was good, but not good enough. And I was always waiting for something to happen tomorrow so that I can be happy and joyful. But the day I started my journey with Isha, things on the outside remained same, the same job, the same relationships, the same work pressure and same achievement. But still somehow there was much more fulfillment within myself. And this really inspired me to look into this dimension deeper. I went through a few more advanced programs. Continued for about 1.5 years with my job along with my Isha practices. Then came a point where I thought, well, this is going so well. Why shouldn't I take more of it? And that's when I moved back to India, and me and my wife are right now settled here as a full-time volunteers, and we are conducting Isha programs.
Why the Isha Foundation specifically?
I would say that somewhere it just happened that way. I never went around looking for any particular organization as such. It's just that one day my wife, while she was watching television channel, we came across Sadhguru, and what he said was very appealing to the logical mind that we carry. Whatever he said was very sensible, logical, and everything you can experiment for yourself. So this approach has really worked for us, where we are not asked to believe in anything. We are always allowed to experiment and see with our own understanding whether what is being said is true in our experience or not. And though I have done a little bit of volunteering with some other organizations. Here I found it's not just to get a stamp on your CV that you're a volunteer, but this is really the way of living. So it's really deep here. And I like it that way.
Okay, let's move on to International Yoga Day. You're the Asia Pacific coordinator. What goes into organizing something as huge as this?
So the beauty of the work which is being done by Isha is that it is entirely done by volunteers. So right now, if I speak specifically about Malaysia, we are working with a group of about 2,000 volunteers. We don't have any set rules. We don't have any very clear-cut defined hierarchies. This is happening out of people's enthusiasm to offer this to the whole world. So it's quite a free green field where everybody can contribute and participate in whichever capabilities they can. New ideas are welcomed, and it's a very organic way of functioning. It's not a top-down approach. It's not that we have grand strategies. It's just that there is a lot of enthusiasm and energy. Most of our volunteers are very young. They are in the age group of 23 to 35. These are people who have experienced yoga themselves, and they see International Day of Yoga as an opportunity to offer a simple but very potent practice which everybody can take up in their life and get benefit out of it. So though it's quite intense, I won't call it hectic, because it just happens so naturally. Everybody is just so excited about it, and it's really a privilege to work with such a large group where there are no agendas at an individual level. There is just one common expectation or inspiration that we need to reach out and help people in this way.
All right. How many countries are on board to celebrate International Yoga Day?
So, I don't know. This is going around in the media quite a lot these days, that out of about 191 participating nations in United Nations, there are 177 countries who have sponsored this initiative. In Asia Pacific, we are looking at about 12, 13 countries who are celebrating it in a major way. In addition to major events, we are also going at the micro level, where we have trained we have already trained more than 300 volunteers in Asia Pacific, and we are training more, who can conduct this session in their home, in their office, in their neighborhood, in their associations. So it's really becoming a movement which is being driven at a very organic level.
Wow, I mean, that's a lot of countries. How many people are you expecting globally to participate then?
We really don't know the exact numbers, but Sadhguru, who is the founder of Isha Foundation, a few days back in a media release announced that Isha on its own is planning to teach yoga on this day and a week before that in 100,000 locations. Some of them will be small with just handful of people, and some of them will be huge. For example, in Malaysia, we are doing it in Publica Mall. We are expecting almost 2,000 people to go through the sessions on that day.
When we come back, I'll be speaking with Saurabh about the business of yoga. You're listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're on The Evening Edition, where we're talking about International Yoga Day, which will be celebrated for the first time ever this weekend on June 21st. I'm Arlene Weber, and I continue my conversation with the Asia Pacific Coordinator for International Yoga Day, Saurabh Jain. Is there a specific reason why 21st June was sanctioned International Yoga Day?
Yes, there is. This is a day when there is a change in the solstice, which means the orientation of sun with respect to earth changes on this day. This also happens to be the one of the longest day. So it has a significance from the way cosmic geography is working. And also this is what was proposed by Prime Minister of India as 21st of June to be declared. So I don't know whether they look at this aspect or not, but yes, it has this relevance of change of solstice with respect to Earth's location.
What is the significance of International Yoga Day?
See, already there is much awareness in terms of yoga, but though millions of people have taken it up as a positive attitude towards life, there are many more people who have some preconceived notions about yoga, and then they think that it's not for them. So what we are planning to do, at least here at Isha, is to make it relevant and make it appealing to everybody. anybody who is looking for whether physical or mental health benefits, peaceful life, efficiency at work, enhanced memory, concentration, joyful relationships, there is something for everybody in yoga. Yoga has something to offer to each human being on this planet. So this is a message that we want to spread across. And that is why the practices that we are teaching are extremely simple in nature on this day. And we are hoping that more and more people will benefit from it, specifically from health perspective. These days, we are seeing that people are struggling with diseases, and the only way people are defining health is if you do not have a disease, you are healthy. But that's not what about health should be. Health should be at the peak of your functioning. So we want to use this as a platform. This is the first time we are celebrating it, but we want to really make it every year phenomena.
Yoga, which is a spiritual practice that has originated from India for more than 6,000 years now, it's now evolved into a business model practice globally. How mm-hmm. do foundations like yours separate the wealth from the spiritual path?
One way of our approach is all the people who are offering this are volunteers, including people like me. We are not here for making a living out of it. We are here to make it as an offering. Even those who will be teaching or conducting the programs on this International Day of Yoga, whether 5 people come or 5 million people come, they don't have any financial gains associated with it. So in that sense, we are maintaining at Isha Foundation that yoga continues to be a process of inner well-being. There are some good yoga schools who charge some money for conducting the programs. That is understood given the fact that there are expenses involved in whatever we are doing. One-off occasions, we are able to get sponsorships where we can offer these practices for free. But in usual course, we do have expenses to cover. And for that, we have to charge some money to the participants. But that's not the objective. The objective is really to give something which is so potent and so sanctiful that it should reach people. So for us, being a volunteer really keeps it simple. We are not here to earn our own living. Most of our volunteers actually are very successful in their own professions. They are not here in for commercial reasons.
So if the objective of yoga is to reach more people, and if the everyday person out there is interested to learn yoga, how can he go about it when classes out there are pretty expensive? Where can they go to learn yoga without breaking the bank?
See, one thing is, especially when we look at, I cannot comment on other organizations, but I can tell about what we are doing at Isha. There are a few simple practices that we are offering online. We are using the technology to keep the costs down. So one can start with these simple practices, which are being offered on this occasion of International Day of Yoga. And the only limitation is if you want to learn something more profound, you need somebody physically be teaching you. It cannot be just done over a passive media. And when it is a physical instruction, then you need a space, you need audio-video systems, and a little bit of expenses come in. But to learn something basic and simple, they can just do search on Isha Foundation, and there are online tools available which they can start with. Once it starts working for them, they will have better understanding of what they are looking for and where it can be found. I can definitely assure that the courses that we are offering, the objective is to just keep the costs affordable for everybody. It's not being done for commercial reasons.
Okay, that's great. So moving on back to International Yoga Day, what sort of programs can people expect globally?
So what we'll be doing is, as a follow-up of International Day of Yoga, we'll also be putting these practices online. So those who have missed or those who want to refresh these practices, they can just go to our websites and they can just review these practices. Also, we'll be continue to offer these sessions beyond International Day of Yoga. We do something like once in a month in Kuala Lumpur, in Penang, and there are a few other places in Malaysia where we'll start using this as an opportunity. They can go through that. And if they want to then take further steps, we have other programs in our engineering, which is also offered online. And there are certain aspects which can be learned in a face-to-face session. These options are available. I would say the audience to just do a search on Isha Foundation, and they will come across a variety of practices which can be learned over the internet.
Fantastic. Now, to wrap up, what would you like to say to people out there to participate in International Yoga Day?
I would say that in last few hundred years, we have somewhere lost this science, and our entire focus has just shifted towards external well-being, which was needed. But I think time has come now that people start focusing inwards also. This is the only way to maintain the health, given the situations that we are living in. This is the only way to have joyful relationships, given the complexities of the world around. This is an invitation and opportunity for people to start somewhere, and I'm very hopeful that once they have a taste of it, they would definitely want to go deeper into it.
Fantastic. Thank you, Saurabh.
You're welcome, Ali.
If you've missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast at www.bfm.my. This has been the evening edition on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.